Lord, we honor you and Lord, we worship you tonight, God, that, Lord, things are different now. God, things don't have to be the way they used to be. And God, we don't have to be stuck anymore. God, we thank you that you chose to come to us. God, I thank you, Father, that you came to us when we couldn't go to you. Father God, that you refused, Father, you refused to let us be alone in this world. So, Father, tonight as we open up your word, God, as tonight as we jump into this amazing holiday season, Father, let us focus on what matters tonight. God, let us focus, God, on the way things ought to be. And God, tonight as we pray for ourselves, God, we don't just pray for us. God, we pray for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire, even around the world. God, they're talking about you, Jesus, God, that you'd bless them just as you've blessed us. Because, God, we're no better than them. God, we're all on the same team, doing the same thing, getting the same word out about Jesus Christ to young people. So, Father, bless them just as you've blessed us. So, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, tonight I want to get into this. Now, as Angel was singing, it's you know, this the song is introducing this. It's introducing the story of Christmas. You know, we think about it. Christmas is kind of like the king of all holidays when it comes to it. I mean, look, we live in America, right? And in America, we like things big. We like to buy lots of stuff. If you got four wheels, it better be 4x4. Matter of fact, if two patties aren't enough, make it four. Animal style. That's the way we do it in America. You know what I'm saying? Christmas lights and look, it's Santa Claus. You know Santa Claus used to be skinny, and then Coca-Cola made him fat. And now Santa is fat, you know? I mean, that's what America does to people sometimes, you know? The day after Thanksgiving, people buy all these Christmas presents and stuff, and that wasn't enough. So now forget the day after Thanksgiving. Now that's dessert for Thanksgiving, is shopping. I mean, this is what Christmas is about now in these days. It's about lining up and spending money and using credit cards. It's everything Charlie Brown said it would become, guys. It's so true. And then me and Pastor Michelle, we heard this song and we showed it to the team, and Angel she has the chops to sing it and stuff like that. And this song, it's funny, it talks about you, capital Y, you coming so slow and like a soft winter snow. I mean, if you think about it, if anybody has the right to shout and to yell and be loud, you think it would be God. I mean, if you really look at it, in heaven's a very loud place. It's not very like it's not like an old cathedral with like stained glass and pretty angel women in robes. That's not heaven. That's the exact opposite of heaven. It's very loud. It's boisterous. There's a lot of food there. It's pretty fresh. The music's fly. You know what I'm saying? People be breakdancing probably. I figure why not, you know? And all of a sudden, God the Son decides to step down from his throne, the loud place, and into this world. And what does he do? I mean, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is everything and everything. I mean, the guy. Hey, look, his words created the Big Bang. That's loud. So what does he do to be born? He finds a little tiny town to a small, just beginning family in basically what amounts to a person's garage to be born. He wasn't born in a castle, a palace. There was no trumpets. It wasn't to a king with a crown, to a beautiful queen with a court. There were no knights in shining armor. Nobody sent out an email blast to invite people to the rave happening afterwards. Nobody wrote a song to him when he was being born. Look, he didn't even have a doctor birthing him. And the very first thing this little baby probably smelled was was stinky animal poo. I mean, think about it. This is the way God decided to come into the world. And God didn't come into our world. He didn't come. He didn't come into our world to just show us the way things ought to be. He came to experience life like you and I did. You see, it's crazy the way Christmas really is. And it's crazy to see what, in a sense, we've turned it into. Now, don't get me wrong. I like presents. I even like Santa Claus. Maybe one day I might even dress up like him for my grandkids, you know? Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be fatter. No, no, no. You know, I'm gonna keep it nice and trim, but you know what I'm saying? Get a couple pillows. But I am saying this, is that if we lose the point behind it, if we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of it, if we take our eyes off of what this is really about, you miss something. And you know what? You're going to step into this next year the same way you did last year. And I want this next year in my life to be better, to be greater, to take a new level of things, of intensity that God has for me. I want God to change the game in my life. If you look in the book of Luke, you don't got to turn there because I'm not going to turn there, but the book of Luke tells this story about all these things happened. And it was so undercover that very few people realized it was coming. These prophecies that had been spoken hundreds and even thousands of years ago were beginning to come true. It says that there was a star that led these three wise men. Look, I don't know about you, but that's a big deal to have planets line up. I mean, it's like setting up like one of those big domino things, you know? And you knock the first one over, and it's like, and then slowly but surely, everything seems to fit into place. This is like that moment where that one domino is falling off the table and it knocks over the little bird. Then the bird begins to do the things with the things and fireworks begin to go off. It's that exact moment, this little baby being born. God set it up. The big plan that he has for us. And in this moment, everything began to change. See, the way things were is not the way things are going to be. We talked about it last week. In Hebrews 10, verse 8 and 10, 8 through 10, it says this. If you guys got it, go ahead and turn there because it's really kind of interesting. It's one of those verses you might skip over, like, I don't get it. Let's get to the part of miracles. But if you know what it's talking about, it means a lot. In Hebrews 10, verse 8, oh, cool, right there. It says, oh, that's cute. That's very cute. Okay, it says, it's so fitting and appropriate for right now. it says, that's okay. I'm cool with it, though. I'm cool with it. It says, previously saying this, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor did you have any pleasure in them. That's God, which are offered according to what? The law. Next verse here, it says this. It says, then he, God said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. See, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. It says, by that we will have been sanctified through all the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You see, this is what Christmas is about. So Jesus changes the game. When he steps onto the field, all of a sudden everything's different. Look. When Jesus came into play, when God stepped down, when God the Son stepped down from eternity into the world, into time that we live in right now, when he did that, everything changed. You know, the rules of the way life was supposed to be lived changed. It said the way it used to be was sacrifice and offering, and people would bring grain, and they'd bring animals, and they'd cut them up, and they'd kill them, and they'd burn them, and it'd be nasty. Because it's the only way they could deal with their problems. See, they had sin in their lives, just like you and I have sin in our lives. And it has to be dealt with. I mean, there's something wrong. So the only way to deal with it, to get rid of it the best way they could, was to offer up innocent blood. It's kind of gross, nasty. But it's the only way they could deal with it. It was the best that they had. But then Jesus came. He said, I've come to change everything. You see, back in the day, like the very first days, with Adam and Eve, there was only one rule. And that one rule was, hey, you know what? Do what's good. Just don't eat off that tree. That's all. One rule. Just don't eat off that tree. Could you imagine that? One rule. That would be the way to live life. One rule. There was a whole list. Just don't do that. And then they decided, well, I don't like this. It's too many rules. I think I'm going to do it my way. And they ate from that fruit, whatever it was. They ate the fruit. And then they went from one rule to hundreds of rules. I don't know if you've ever read the Old Testament, like the parts that get boring sometimes. You're like, whoa, what does this have to do with anything? You know, I can't eat shrimp. It's in there. I can't wear polyester. What? If I work on Saturday, you have to kill me? Hey, I mean, if you ever get Saturday school, just say, you know, I can't do it because then I have to die. And you don't want to be responsible for that, do you, teacher? Seriously, Saturday school, that's against my religion. I mean, rule after rule after rule after rule. You can't do this. You can't eat that. This is yucky, and this is not yucky. I mean, literally, hundreds upon hundreds of rules were given after that time. And it's all in the Bible, and they all counted. And God was serious about all of them. If you were a witch, we're going to throw rocks at your head till you die. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that to any of the Wiccans at your school, because we'll talk about that in a second. But those were the rules back then. You see, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the devil, they all of a sudden, the game changed. Before then, the game was simple. Enjoy life. Spend time with the Lord. Frolic with the lions and the sheep. Could you imagine that? Riding a lion, that'd be the freshest thing in the world. So awesome. And that was the way the game was played, man. That was the way life was lived. But they decided they didn't like it. So all of a sudden they ate the fruit and the whole game changed. And it didn't work anymore. The book of John. You guys say your Bibles, turn to John. Left turn. If you're in Hebrews. If you're not, just find the book. In John, it opens up and it tells a story about Jesus coming to us. It says this. It says in John 1:6, it says, there was this man sent from God. And this man's name was John. Different John. John the Baptist. A couple different Johns in this story. But it says there was a man named John the Baptist. And this man came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that through him we might believe. And John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, to tell people about it. He says, that was the true light that gives light to every man coming into this world. He, the light, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him. Jesus made it all, and the world didn't know him. Why? Because of the fruit. Because they ate the fruit, and they changed the game. And because they changed the game, they weren't near Jesus. They weren't near God anymore. All of a sudden, God was very far away, and man was very far away from God. And that's why at times, when you pray, you don't hear, you don't feel God's voice. Why? Because man told God to go take a hike. So Adam and Eve walked away from God, and they took us with them. And it says the world didn't know him. Well, that's a problem, because God happens to like us. I don't know why. Because honestly, some of us are not very likable. Some of us are jerks. I mean, I really could say all of us are jerks, including me, because I'm a big jerk. But God likes us. He loves us. Both likes and loves, because of different things. But anyway, he says, so God came to his own. Jesus came to his own. He came to his own, verse 11, and his own did not receive him. I mean, he was crucified, for goodness sakes. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are not born of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh. Jesus stepped down. God stepped down. became this little tiny baby and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, the one and only, the unique of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Adam and Eve jacked everything up. They changed the game. And you know what? The thing is when Adam and Eve did that, they changed the rules to where we could never win. Never win. It's almost like the rule book was translated into Chinese, and ain't nobody in here able to read Chinese. You can't win the game. The rules were impossible. They were too hard. It was difficult. It would be like me alone trying to win a football game against the Titans. It would not work. Look, I know the Titans aren't fresh, but I'm just not that good. Right? Titans aren't. I don't like. Not against Grand Terrace. The different Titans. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. The rules were against us. And God's like, I don't know if I can fly with this, guys. Let's change this up. So Jesus comes and he changes everything again. You see, Jesus came to change the game from rules to relationship. From rules. It said over in Hebrews, it said the law was there, the law. And you know, the law was important. Because, see, Adam and Eve thought they could do it on their own. So God said, if you want to do it on your own, this is what it takes. This is what it takes. If you want to do it on your own, then don't eat this, don't eat that, don't wear this, don't do this, don't work here, don't marry this person, don't marry this person. If you want to do this on your own, then this is what it takes, guys. These are the rules. If you want to play by my rules, then these are the rules. Bam, do it. You ever done that? I have kids, and sometimes my daughter says, I don't want it. I don't want it. I say, all right, fine, you do it. Daddy, I don't like this. That's what I thought. It's hard. You need me to help you. I'm like, all right, honey, come on, let's go. Yeah, I'm not mean or anything. Don't get me wrong. But that's what God said. God said, if you really, then this is what it is. And then it took us long enough, but we finally got it. Oh, we can't do this on our own. We need help. I need a do-over. I need $200 on free parking or this is not going to work, God, okay? So then Jesus steps in and says, all right, ready to change this, ready to make this happen, ready to make this work. So Jesus comes, God himself steps down, and what does he do? God plays by the rules. Jesus plays by the rules that God set, God the Father set. And you know what? Jesus knows how to win playing by the rules. When we can't, we're not enough, he comes and he owns the game, hands down. Shut out. Boom. Dies on the cross. Changes the game. That's what Christmas is. Jesus changed it from rules to relationship. You see, it used to be about regulation. It used to be about getting things right all the time, every time. It went from one rule to hundreds upon hundreds of rules. And then when Jesus came and died, he changed it and went back to two rules. That's right. It did everything. I mean, that's why we don't kill people on Saturdays. That's why you can have your shrimp cocktail and not be cursed by the Lord. That's why. Because Jesus did those rules. He beat that game. He handled it. And then he said, all right, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do that. Handled it. Taken care of. Those are the things you need to remember. He said, okay, that this is what it takes now. He changed the game from rules to relationship, from religion to a relationship. See, in Matthew 1, verse 18 through 21, if you guys got it, go ahead, get there. If you got it up there, put it on the board. In Matthew 1, this is another account of the Christmas story, and it's really easy, and I love it because it just kind of wraps it all up in a nice little bow. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, engaged to the man Joseph, before they came together, you know, that was like, you know, the marriage thing. Okay, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Next verse, it says this. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, minded to put her away secretly because it looked like there was some funny business going on. All of a sudden, he goes, the next verse says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Spirit. Next verse. And she will bring forth a son. You will call his name Jesus, which the name Jesus means salvation. So, I mean, he's going to save folks. And he will save his people from their sins. See, sin is playing by the rules. Jesus, when you get Jesus in your life, you go from playing by the rules to playing by grace. Grace means I know I can't do it, but when I lean on God, he makes up for the parts I can't do. If the best I can do on my test is 70%, a weak C, then Jesus makes up the 30%, I get an A+. You know? Like, score, I wish school worked like this, right? You know? Man, I wish this is, I'd get in any college I want if I had grace like that. That's what grace means. Now, it doesn't mean you can't, we'll get into that in a second. Anyway, that's what it means. He makes up for the part you can't do because we can't do it. But here's the problem. It is, Jesus played the game. A lot of us, we live our life like we're playing Monopoly according to Go Fish rules. And you can't win Monopoly with a pair of fives. You know what I'm saying? It's a different game. You can't do that. You can't do it. There's times where we try to say, God, look how good I'm gonna. Look, God, I've got two pairs over here, and God, look, I even got two aces, and this is great, God, because, I mean, do you have any threes? And God's like, whoa, I'm on Park Place, dude. I don't really get this. This is not really, you know what I'm saying? I think it's your turn to roll. What do you mean, God? What do you mean? It doesn't make any sense. Because a lot of times we try to think, okay, if I can only be good enough, then God will like me. No. If I can only be popular enough, then that'll make me feel good. Or if I, or we begin to think, gosh, you know, if I get good enough grades, then I'll really make a difference in the world. No, that is not. That is living according to rules. If you go to church enough times, and no. Look, I mean, look, these things are all good, but that's the wrong game. That's Adam and Eve's game. That's the way Adam and Eve decided to live life, by the rules, by the law. Don't get me wrong, it's all good and right, but it's not what you base your life off of. You base it, we need to base it off of the fact that Jesus came to rescue us from sin because we can't rescue ourselves. So if you have a problem, stop going to these other things to rescue you. If you have an issue, stop going to these other little tiny saviors. Look, God doesn't desire sacrifice and doesn't desire these offerings like that. He desires relationship with you. See, if you go back to John, last verse here, in John 1, we're reading about the Word and the light and all that jazz and that kind of cool stuff. This portion of the Christmas story. It's kind of like super poetic, I guess, like metaphor. But anyway, it says, as many as received him, in verse 12, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God, to those who believe in his name. See, right there, God says, look, I don't want employees. I don't want employees. I want children. I don't want people who just like, you know, get her done. I want kids. I want little mijos and mijas. That's what I want. I want children. I want sons and daughters. He says, that's what I want, guys. And that's what God's looking for. Now, The question is this, do you live your life trying to please a boss, or do you live your life trying to please a father? Right? Are you working for a paycheck? Or are you just trying to be part of the family? Because that's the way we get mixed up sometimes. God's not out giving paychecks. God's not a slot machine. You put your 8 hours in, cha-ching, now take a break. All right. All right, I got it. Where's my paper? I need some coffee here. You know, like, look, don't get me wrong. We got stuff to do. But God's more concerned with you being his child. Look, I mean, you look at it, look, being a child of God requires commitment and requires relationship. That's what God wants. Look, just now, I know I'm talking about rules. It doesn't matter about rules. No rules. That doesn't mean you, like, go out and start killing people or, like, stealing stuff and smoking weed. You know, I'm not. That's not what I'm talking about. You can't. Look. Because you know there's bad kids and there's good kids. You know, there's, like, the bad son. And there's, like, the good daughter. You know what I'm saying? A good child is obedient to their parents, right? You know what I'm saying? That's the way it's supposed to be. But if you really love God and you really see it, then obedience and doing the right thing just comes out of you. It just becomes a part of who you are. You know, we don't do the rules and listen to the rules because we want God to love us, but because we love God, we follow his rules. It goes that way, not the other way. Because there's a commitment God's looking for. You see, back in the day, the way religion was, whether you were worshiping Zeus or any other god, the funny thing is, the way they used to expect you to worship other gods and stuff is it didn't matter how sincere you were. It didn't matter how much you cared about the god. You just had to do it, you know? Like, all right, go through the motions. I mean, maybe you guys have been to a church like that before. I don't know what I'm doing, but they're telling me to do it. And if I do it, maybe God won't, like, hit me with lightning. So I'm just going to do this for an hour and then live my life, okay? And that's the way things used to always be done. You didn't have to care about the God. You just go through the motions. And that's rules. But see, when you're committed, you're, like, sold out to it. You're genuine. You're authentic. You're real. See, I don't know if you've ever seen married couples, but, you know, there's some married couples that just live together and they just, like, share money. And then there's, like, some married couples that are, like, real. They, like, actually, like each other. They, like, kiss each other and stuff like that, you know? And not just on, like, their anniversary. You know, that's the difference between going through the motions and being committed. See, God wants you to be a child of his, but a committed child. Not somebody who just lives in the house, because that's not really a kid anyway. That's just somebody on a sleepover, right? You know, that's a neighbor kid who just so happens to be sleeping there and eating his food. But God wants a child who's committed to the family. The kid has chores, and he does the chores. The kid tells his dad he loves him, and he spends time with dad. They go out, and maybe they grab a cup of coffee every once in a while, and maybe they go out, they go to Toys R Us, and say, oh, daddy, I want that, daddy, I want that. And he say, all right, yo, I'm going to get you this little toy here, you know? And I mean, that's cool, right? That's the way the family's supposed to be, and that's what God wants. He said he gave us the right to be children. So as kids, let's be committed to God instead of just going through the motions. And then God's looking for relationship. There's a story in Luke, the 15th chapter. You don't got to turn there, but it talks about this father and son. And it's the story of the prodigal son. And it's about this dad. He's a pretty good dad, taking care of his kids. And this one boy, one of his sons says, forget this. Psh, outie, man. This place bites. Get me out of here. Gah. So he says, Dad, give me my money. I'm going to get out of here. She says, all right. The son cut himself off from the dad. And he cut his relationship off. I mean, he was still a son, but if he had died away from his dad, he'd have died poor. His dad wouldn't even have known. He'd have died alone. See, God's looking for relationship. God's not looking for you just to come to church and to throw up a prayer every once in a while. He wants time. God desires conversation. God desires relationship. God desires your heart to be close to his. So that's the question today, is what game are you playing? Because you need to be on the same level with God. You see, God changed. When Jesus stepped in to our world in that manger, that one day, whatever day it was in the year, doesn't matter. December, spring, doesn't matter. Whether the date is technically right or not, whatever. What matters is that God stepped out of eternity into our world to change the rules. And the rules now, what God's looking for is not a to-do list, but God's looking for a commitment and a relationship from you. And I love it because that's what he did to us. What did it say in John? It said, look, the world didn't know him, but he made it a point to know the world. See, Jesus was committed to us. And he came down, and he ate with people, and he lived with people, and he joked with people, and he did life with people. He had relationship. Today, that's what God wants. He said, I've come to give you the right to be a child. Do you know what that means? You had no right to be called a child before that. Before Jesus, you had no right. No right. You know, people say, oh, we're all children of God. Red, yellow, black, and white. We're all. No, you're not. Not everybody's a child of God. The Bible says some people are children of the devil. And you, come on, let's be real. You know that's true. There's some children of the devil out there. And some of them are 4 years old, and they're bad. I mean, all you got to do is go to children's ministry. I'm just saying not every kid over there is saved, all right? And one of my kids may be that one. I don't know. She got to get saved. Anyway, or at least comb her hair. That's probably my job. That's probably my job to comb my daughter's hair. Anyway, I'm saying this. Christmas means you have the right now. God gives us the right to be his children. So don't waste it. Don't waste that right. Play by God's rules. And the rules are simple, two. Love the Lord and love people. God wants you to be committed. God wants a relationship with you. If you guys got anything on God today, let's give him praise.